With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Back in on the drive. I wouldn't consider this breaking news. But it's certainly
no name fighting Daniel Cornflakes again.
No, I don't even want to bring it up anymore. You always discourage me. I was just going to say that someone else testified in federal court today that they know about the scheme to pay Billy Preston and Silvio De Sousa. We have to act like didn't happen. That Kansas basketball didn't play with an illegal player last year or an ineligible player. And that's a better way. Like they didn't play with an ineligible player. Like at some point, we shouldn't have a conversation about the Final Four banner coming down. But I don't want to get into this. The text line's going to crush me for bringing up facts because we all know Silvio De Sousa got paid to play basketball at KU. We'd have to pretend it didn't happen. But all right, I'll be the one to pretend that it didn't happen. The pop quiz was no doubt. Who was in No Doubt other than Gwen Stefani?
That wasn't my guy. I thought Moby was in there. I thought Richard Melville is his real name was in there. That is not factually correct.
I would have been shocked if you knew that.
Gwen Stefani, Tony Kanal, Tom Dumont, and Adrian Young. I thought my guy Moby was also in there.
No, Moby was his own guy.
Didn't he do a video with Gwen Stefani, though, or something?
Yeah, maybe they had their own collab. I didn't think he was in No Doubt. I couldn't name any other person in No Doubt other than Gwen Stefani. Right now, our favorite duo, our favorite group, Joe Thorman and Pete Sweeney.
Which one of you is Moby?
The No Doubt of Chiefs blogs over here.
Which one of you is Moby? Which one of you is Gwen Stefani?
I'm Gwen Stefani. Okay. She's way more famous than Rich.
I am not Moby.
You don't want to be Moby?
I'm telling you that right now.
All right, we have a poll question up right now. Pete, I believe you've seen it.
Yep.
Who would you rather have on your team? Would you rather have peak Jamal Charles or Tyreek Hill on your team, Joe Thorman?
Amazing question. I'll take peak Jamal. He touches the ball so often.
I'm going the other way. I'd rather have Tyreek Hill. I think when it's all said and done, Tyreek may end up being a better player than peak Jamal Charles was. I don't think we've seen it yet, but I think there's something to be said this year about what Tyreek is doing away from the ball. Like last game, yeah, he has 60 yards, but he's taking Jalen Ramsey out of the game, and sometimes that doesn't get talked about enough.
All right, let's start with this because I got cooked by the text line a couple days ago for this opinion. Absolutely destroyed. I don't think the Chiefs defense is very good. I think that their offense is so good that it has clouded our judgment when it comes to the defense. That the best defense this team plays is they score 36 points a game, that you have to score 38 to beat this team. That's the best defense that they play. Fanning had some stats about sacks, and they force turnovers, and they get off the field on third downs. There's no denying that. They give up a lot of yards that eventually turn into points once you play better teams and better quarterbacks. And this team is no better at stopping the run. They're maybe worse at stopping the run this year than they were last year. I think the defense is a problem and is going to only continue to be a bigger problem as injuries and attrition happen throughout the course of the season. Where do you guys stand on the Chiefs defense?
Yeah, it's obviously a bit of a problem. They give up a ton of points, but for me, it's so hard to evaluate because they're up 59-9 in the first quarter so far this season.
I don't think that's accurate.
It's
in a game. I thought you meant in a game. Yeah.
Yeah. So over the season, they get up so much in the first quarter, and they build these leads so high that it's so hard to evaluate what is good defense after that when the team's playing catch up for so long. So, I mean, I think that's definitely part of it. But if you give me healthy Justin Houston and Dee Ford getting after the pass rusher the way he has for the past couple of games, I think they're good enough.
Bob Sutton has said before that he changes up the game plan depending on situationally. So sometimes I think we're thinking the defense is going to be one thing yardage-wise when maybe they're playing a little bit more off with big leads. I don't want to give him too much excuses, though, because I feel like there also has been this mentality since Sutton has been in Kansas City. He says, he said numerous times in the past, their motto is you're in when you're in. And what does that mean? That means when you get in the red zone, you have to bear down, and all they care about is stopping touchdowns, which, you look at the third down numbers, they've done a really good job with. But at the same time, you have this bend but don't break mentality. Maybe just don't bend. And I just don't think the Chiefs, when they were starting on the 30 or 40 yard line, are the same as they are in the red zone. To me, and to me, yes, the whole thing was dynamic duo, Ragland and Hitchens. Well, guess what? Reggie Ragland ain't even playing that much. I mean, you went in the offseason, you said, we're going to have this new attitude on defense, we're going to stop the run. You're not really doing either. I mean, yeah, you had the attitude the other day where two guys got ejected, but other than that, are you really a tougher defense? I don't think you are.
Yeah, I don't trust the numbers yet. Excuse me. I don't trust the numbers yet on this defense for a number of different reasons. I mean, look at all the trash yards that Jacksonville got at the end of that game and in the second half after they're getting smoked. I mean, the Niners put up a ton of yards when they were down 35-7 or whatever it was. You know, so I don't completely trust it. I look at the money down. Do they get off the field on third down? Do they get stops when they need to? And to this point, that they have. They did it in Denver, down two scores, second half. And they had a three and out, and Mahomes took him down, scored, and they won the football game. I'm good with that, man.
It's such a different feeling knowing that you do, like, you have the offense to come back. Like, you're down 10. You actually feel good against Denver in the fourth quarter. And for the past several years, like, the Chiefs have needed, like, a much better defense than they have this year. And it just feels like they don't need it as much this year. There's some adjustment.
It's a weird style of football in the sense that, okay, so say you're going to be up all these points, and let's just assume, we're going to do a hypothetical right now, but say the Blake Bortles and the Jags defense starts on the 1 yard line, and they run 99 yards on your defense, but guess what? That took 10 minutes off the clock. Like, that's a win. You know what I mean? Yeah, the yardage isn't there, but if you're still winning the football game. So it's just hard. You take all that into account because maybe you're playing the game a little bit differently.
Maybe I'll keep playing the devil's advocate here. I got no problem doing that. This is the same philosophy the last year that we saw didn't work.
Right.
Like, I feel like we keep saying the same things about the Chiefs defense, and then in the playoffs, we see that it doesn't work, and everybody gets mad at Bob Sutton. Like, I kind of feel like it's this cycle that we know their defense is a problem. We know Bob Sutton is a problem. We know this team can't really tackle a whole lot. But Mahomes is really good, and they score a lot of points, and the other team can't really keep up with it. So it makes us forget about their defense when we know they're going to go up against a team that challenges them better than Case Keenum and Philip Lindsay did. We know they're going to be tested better than a quarterback that turns the ball over five times on Sunday, and that's going to be the real measure of it. Now, I'm with you when it comes to garbage yards. There's no denying that. I mean, they're giving up 460 passing yards a game. I mean, that's a lot.
And you're talking about quarterbacks, though, in the Chiefs' defense, and I'm not saying this defense doesn't drive me crazy at times, but they have faced a couple of guys that we think are going to be Hall of Famers, Big Ben and Philip Rivers. So it's not like they're facing Case Keenum every week and C.J. Beathard and that crew. You know what I mean? I mean, let's put that in there, too.
You could put the Chargers, Jags, Steelers, and upcoming Patriots in the playoffs this year.
And I think the Bengals, too, the following week. I think the Bengals the following week have a legitimate chance.
This Sunday will be a test. I mean, because Tom Brady, out of all the quarterbacks in the league, especially with this offense now, he's going to be able to stay neck and neck with Mahomes. And if it costs him towards the end of the game where it reminds you that no-punt game where there's not a ton of punts on Sunday and the Chiefs end up losing by one score and the points are within the 30s and 40s, I think it's going to become abundantly clear, okay, maybe something different needs to be done here.
And that's why I kind of feel like in this game, Joel, that I don't really know how to evaluate their defense because they're not getting stops in this game. Like, we all know, all of us listening, no, it's going to take at least 30 points to win this game. Like, you are not winning this game 28-24. You're not winning this game 21-17. Brady's on one side. He's fully got his full complement of weapons. Sonny Michel's been really good. Edelman's back. Gronk's back. Josh Gordon caught a touchdown last week with Mahomes on that side in the Patriots defense. It's going to take a minimum of 30 points. That means his defense still going to be giving up a lot of yards, still giving up a lot of big plays, still getting mismatched and exploited on the team. This is a game of, can your offense outscore their offense, and is your offense better than Bill Belichick and his scheme, what he can come up with? That's what this game is about to me, not about their defense at all.
I think there's some truth to that. That was kind of my first thought, that this would be a just how many points, how many, you know, who gets to 40 first is going to win. But Patriots seem a little different this year. I don't know if they have the horses to run with the Chiefs the way the Chiefs are playing. I'm very curious to see the Patriots game plan, see if they're finally the team that actually sticks to the run, slows it down, limits the Chiefs' possessions, gets first downs with Gronk. Like, I think that they may go that route and that you may end up seeing a 24-20 game, something like that, only because the Chiefs' possessions are just limited so much. I think the Patriots are one of the smart teams who will change their game plan each week dramatically for that specific opponent.
And I agree. I mean, I think the Patriots are stupid if they don't try to run the football every single time. I mean, and then pass off play action. Why wouldn't you? I mean, I was blown away that the Jags didn't stick to that last week. Run the football, use play action. You can gouge their defense for what, almost 6 yards a carry, and Sony Michel's been phenomenal. And Tom Brady's like, y'all hand if it's about winning. So if it's about winning the football game and running the football helps us win, I'll do it.
Yeah, Doug Marrone, baffling week.
I mean, it made absolutely no sense what they were doing offensively last week.
Yeldon was, I think, for the first half, 6 point something yards per carry, and they go away from the run. And I understand, I mean, they got down a little bit early because you went for it on fourth down when it was 10-0. You're down two scores anyway. That didn't make any sense to me right at the beginning of the game. Then you're playing from behind the entire time. You end up throwing for over 60 times, I think it was, Bortle. It's just baffling game plan, and then now you're bringing Jamal Charles because it's Yeldon's fault? Like, I don't know.
I didn't really mind what they're – I mean, I didn't really mind going forward in that fourth down. I didn't like that they threw the ball the two times. Where I'm with you
with
when
the fade.
It
came to, yeah, exactly. I didn't exactly. Like either I hated one of those. That.
What I didn't like about their mentality is Jacksonville, it felt like when the Chiefs scored the touchdown to go up 7-0, it felt like Jacksonville's mentality was, we have to win a shootout against the Chiefs. Jacksonville, you're not a team equipped to win a shootout against the Chiefs. Like, look at your offensive weapons. Look at your quarterback. You're on the road. This is not a game you can win a shootout. Sunday, New England can win a shootout against the Chiefs. I've seen them do it for the last 15 years with Tom Brady.
And I think to your point, and this is something that'll be, I think, good for people to see during the regular season, good for the Chiefs and Andy Reid to see during the regular season, is the run defense is a weakness. All the Patriots are doing this week, all Belichick is doing this week, is saying, what can I exploit? The run defense is the weakness, and it's going to be exploited all day Sunday. Bill Belichick ain't going to get away from what's working. So that's the one thing. At least you'll come out of Sunday, even if you do lose the game, which is possible. I mean, the Chiefs are going in as 5-0 underdogs. At least you'll learn something about yourself, and then maybe by the end of the season when it's playoff time, you can fix it.
Go ahead, Joel.
It's just like the blueprints out there on how to slow the Chiefs down.
The Broncos did it.
Teams just haven't done it. The Broncos did it. 49ers did it. Jaguars did it for a half. At least like a little bit. Like to score on the Chiefs. Like, I feel like people should know how to address this game, but you just haven't seen it because you get down 14-0 in the first quarter. Like, just everything changes. You know.
Yeah, I kind of think I know what the Patriots' strategy is going to be against the Chiefs. We'll talk about it coming up on the other side. I want to get you guys' opinion on our Eric Berry return draft. When do you think he'll be back for the team? And the best player on the Chiefs' defense is Dee Ford. We'll talk about him next coming up. It's The Drive. Coming up in just a bit, we continue to play the game that has no name. Who won last week? Pete, you won?
I don't remember
who won last week.
I think it was you, wasn't it?
I think Joel won, didn't he?
No, I was second 2 weeks in a row.
15
last week. Yeah, I forgot. You know what I mean?
You were dancing in here. You were dancing.
I mean, I'm a winner. I don't really know what else to say. We'll get to that coming up.
I thought he actually forgot who won.
we'll get to that coming up
in
10 minutes. And we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. I actually want to ask you guys this first about my theory about Justin Houston. I think Justin Houston is going to miss a significant amount of time. And I don't think they know how to tell you yet. I think back to the beginning with Eric Berry, and Pete, you tweeted it today. It has now been 60 days since Eric Berry practiced for the Chiefs.
60.
You guys remember when it started? It started as a day-to-day thing. Oh, it wasn't that serious. You remember, it was reported that if it was a regular season game, he could play in the very beginning of it. And then the days turned into weeks, and then turned into a month, and now has turned into 2 months.
The Guinness Book of World Record, loudest stadium in the world is Arrowhead Stadium. This is the world record for longest day-to-day stretch of any
day-to-day
player.
And he's not coming back this week. He's not coming back next week. Berry's going to be out for a significant amount of time. You go out and you get Frank Zombo. You sign Nate Orchard, two guys that play a similar position to Justin Houston. Now, I understand about Dee Ford and Tano. This tells me you are preparing to not have Justin Houston at least for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'd buy it. I could see him coming back in Thanksgiving. Same with Berry, too. I think it's going to be a little bit for each of them. I don't know the specific injuries, but listening to Andy Reid, you can get that vibe.
I always say go to the actions, right? So when he came off the field, I don't remember who tweeted it, so I like to credit this. I can't remember, but someone tweeted he slammed his helmet as soon as he walked out the field.
Houston did?
Yeah. He knew that it was a little bit more serious, and then Garofalo follows up with this could be weeks.
Instantly.
Instantly. So to me, you're looking at least 2-3 weeks, I would guess.
Because I brought the point earlier when we talked about it, the text line was like, well, what about this? What about this? We only hear about these injury informations from people outside the building. They kept telling us it was heel pain, and then Andy Reid moved to Achilles area, and then we find out from Mike Garofalo more closely what it is. Mike Garofalo had this a day later when it came to Justin Houston about the hamstring injury. They can tell me this. It's, oh, he might play on. No, he's not playing on Sunday. You went out there and immediately made moves at the position. This is not about Tano Passanio being out. This is about Justin Houston not being available for the next couple of weeks.
And they knew almost immediately. If you listen back to Andy Reid on Monday, very, very wishy-washy when it came to the outside linebacker position of what they were going to do, and then all of a sudden you've got Nate Orchard here. I actually like Nate Orchard. I mean, it's a little scary that this is a guy that didn't have a job for most of the year.
But his third team in what, about 3 months?
I love Nate Orchard.
Red flag.
Yeah,
I'm interested in seeing what he can do. I mean, obviously, you'd rather have Justin Houston out there, but Dee Ford has been dominating. So you put Breland Speaks, who had the best game of his career so far last week, and you have Nate Orchard in the mix. You know, maybe you get by for a little bit.
You know what it actually reminds me of, Brett? It reminds me of whenever Ned is about to send somebody down. Yeah. You can tell based on how Ned answers questions what's about to be the next move. Sure. He might not say, hey, we're sending that guy down to Omaha. Hey, you know what? I got to talk to Dayton. We got to. Mm-hmm. Anytime he says, I got to talk to Dayton, I got to talk to the staff, that's code for this guy's not about to be on the team for too much longer. Anytime they tell you they're optimistic or it's day to day when it comes, that guy's going to miss at least a month in the NFL.
In Chiefs talk, it is, well, Brett's looking at that. Yeah, when Brett's looking at it, you know that there's something.
And if it's on Monday and he says it's going to be a stretch and Andy speak, that means he's out about a month. So he'll start practicing first week in November and he's back by Thanksgiving. That's my prediction.
I'm just used to, like, coaches and GMs, they all lie when it comes to injuries. And they lie about so much stuff. You know, and part of it, I don't even blame them. You know, like why start something, you know, when I don't have to? So I'm going to be extremely vague. I'm not going to tell you the truth. And then I'll leave you guys to speculate. When the guy's ready to go, we'll get him back in here. But when he's talking and saying, well, Brett's been looking at that, you know, as soon as he brings up Veach's name and he's looking at outside linebackers, then you know that it's something. I don't care if you tell me it's day to day and we'll find out. No, it's not. You're going out and trying to hire other people.
There's two people with the Chiefs who, if they get the name mentioned from Reid, you know it's trouble. Rick will get that to you, or Brett's looking at it. Those are the two red flags that says, okay, there's a problem here.
Yeah. When do you think that Eric Berry is coming back? I put my time at November 28th. I think he comes back the Wednesday before their first game. That's when I think he practices for the first time. When do you guys think Eric Berry's back on the field?
8/1/19. I don't think he plays this year.
Ooh, Pete, I wasn't prepared for that take.
it was very matter of fact. He's not playing this year.
I don't think Pete had to think about that.
I mean, at this point, Reid was asked a few weeks ago, speaking of like of flags and stuff like that, Reid was asked a few weeks ago straight up, will Eric Berry play this year? And it wasn't like, yes. It was, oh, well, yeah, I don't know. You know, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mean, that to me is no. It's not, you know what I mean?
I think he's back at least practicing before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I've
that's
said,
a pretty big window. Can I take that before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's the popular one. I said December 19th. I think he's coming back for the last two games.
That's the bye week, just as a heads up. That's the bye week. Thanksgiving.
Is that the last date that someone has said?
Yeah, that's the latest.
So give me December 20th. Price is right.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, there you go. You'll one up it then, man. No, I just figured they got 10 days between the Chargers and the game and the Seattle game because they play on Thursday night football against the Chargers. That'll give them two games to get ready to go. It may change if week 17 doesn't matter. You know, that may move it back a week. But
see, that's the thing. I feel like some of this, like how they're playing probably factors in like a little bit. If the Chiefs are 9-0, you're going to bring back Barry for your 10th game to go 10-0? Like, no. Probably not. I'm assuming more rest is going
to
be good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, why he doesn't need, what do you want to put, three more games of wear and tear on his body and then lose him for the playoffs when you got to play him at Seattle on December 23rd? So I think Eric Berry needs two games to get ready for the playoffs, and that's it. And I don't want to risk injury any other way, especially if you're in good shape.
See, I'm kind of on the other side of this, and I'm curious what you guys think of. I think we're underestimating how hard it is to miss as much time as Eric Berry and come back and be a productive NFL player. If he comes back for the last two games, that will be he has missed the last 30 NFL games. Man, it's hard to not play 30 games and then come back and be the productive player that we all think he's going to be. And this team might not even need week 17. They might already have either the 1 or the 2 seed or the 3 seed. They might have one of those spots already locked up where they can't help themselves. So it's a situation very similar to last year. I just don't know if you can come off the bench and not play 30 consecutive games, be really productive, play one game, and then be even close to 100% for the playoffs where you can realistically really change things for this team.
That's a great point. Most players are not the same, even like after a season. Like even Wentz, you know, he missed, you know, half of last season or whatever it was.
Watson, I mean, still looks a little rusty to
me. Yeah, no. I don't know, man. Like maybe Barry's just getting a little bit older and it'll be different, but it always just felt like he always came back to the player that he was. Like even at the beginning of last year, you know, before he got hurt, or at the end of 16, whatever it was, I mean, he looked like still like an elite level player. So, I mean, it may just be my optimism here, but I think he can come back and at least be impactful, give him a month.
I think guys who miss the preseason sometimes, I mean, you saw Reggie Ragland miss most of the preseason. I think he's still trying to figure it out. Here we are in week five. Like, to me, that's a huge point of it, because not only is it football shape, but Derek Johnson used to say this and always stuck with me. It's training your eyes. Eric Berry will have missed 2 years without having his eyes trained for the NFL. So to me, I think it does or would take a little bit more than two games.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. And we will play the game with no name. So we need four callers. Who are you going to pick as we continue to embarrass Joel Thorman, as I am the defending champion in the game with no name? We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive. Back in on The Drive. Here's your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word YOUNG, Y-O-U-N-G, YOUNG, to 72881. That's YOUNG, Y-O-U-N-G, YOUNG. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 in the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both. Weekdays from 7A to 7P. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you hard of hearing in the back.
Excuse me?
Young, Y-O-U-N-G, Young, to 72881. That is the code word. Forgot to ask you guys about D Ford. We'll do that in just a bit, but it's one of my favorite times for the week.
Oh, God.
It's where we test our sports knowledge in the game with no name. It is a very, very simple game if you've never played before. Listeners, if you've never heard the game before, Spectre will name a player that played professional sports. Let's say Peyton Manning. You will then name every team that Peyton Manning played for, and then you'll say next. He'll continue to go through players. There are a possibility of 25 points. Yours truly is the defending champion. I will be looking forward to defending my crown.
You know what CDOT has never heard before? The sentence, act like you've been there.
Right.
Yeah. He hadn't. He hasn't won yet, has he?
Point.
All three of us have won except for Joel.
I came in second twice, though.
Way to go. Second place.
I mean, thanks, your last. Thanks, Jim Kelly.
After the way I started, I feel like that's an accomplishment.
All right, Brandon and Olathe, who are you picking in the game with no name?
Oh, I'm rocking with Joel. We're getting this.
I'm rocking with Joel.
That's right.
Hey, all right.
Brandon picked the slow kid. I like it. Yeah.
Eric and KCK, who you got?
Suda.
Let's go, Eric.
Oh, no.
Chris in Bonner Springs. Yeah. Do you have Pete or do you have Brad?
I'm going to go with the underdog. I'm going to go with Pete.
My man.
Hey, at least you said you're the underdog.
No, he didn't mean
so
that.
So I got my guy Trevor in case.
He's rolling with the underdog.
He didn't mean that.
I think he meant it.
No, he didn't. Come on.
All right, Spec, let's go.
Last,
all right, we'll give Joel the headphones because Joel,
Joel
was the first pick today.
Man. You got to have headphones.
He didn't come ready to work today.
Come on, he's going to borrow Pete's.
He's like Chris Comer with no helmet.
Where is Brandon from? Where's my guy from?
He's from Olathe.
Olathe.
I'm going to give you a little
bit. We're doing this for Olathe, Brandon.
Got to do it for Olathe.
A little bit of music to get you going.
No.
Oh, you know the music gets him.
My palms are all sweaty now.
Knees weak.
Everybody's category is very similar today. I went back to the Pro Bowls. 2013, 2011, 2009, 2007. Joel, you will be starting with the 2013 Pro Bowl. 45 seconds are now on the clock. Jamal Charles.
Chiefs, Broncos, Jaguars. Next.
DeMarco Murray.
Cowboys, Eagles, Titans next.
DeSean Jackson.
Eagles, Bucks next.
Jordan Cameron.
Next.
Ndamukong Suh.
Dolphins, Lions, Rams next.
Vernon Davis.
49ers next.
Brian Arakpo.
Titans, Washington next.
Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver.
Jets, Broncos, why am I blanking on this? Next.
I was going to say, like, how many seconds did the guy get, man? You've been doing it for like 5 minutes back.
No, those 45 seconds are on the clock.
Right. What'd I get?
One, two, three.
Let's see what he got here. I felt like he was pretty strong on
that
one. That
felt strong to me.
I was shocked you didn't go Brandon Marshall.
We have
Dolphins
a new record.
Yes.
New record?
16.
16. Wow.
16 out of
25. Brandon.
Strong.
We did it for Olathe, Brandon.
Whoa, hold on. Hey, no one else has got it at bat yet.
Hey, just because you're the leader of the clubhouse, man, don't get all
Joel.
Fired up.
There we go. All right, who's second? C-Dot?
C-Dot.
Let's go.
We go in reverse order?
Let's go. I'm ready.
2011 Pro Bowl.
Okay.
45 seconds are on the clock.
All right, let's go.
Willis McGahee.
Bills, Broncos, Ravens, next.
Frank Gore.
Colts, Dolphins, 49ers, next.
Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings. Packers. Next.
Haloti Ngata.
Ravens. Lions. Next.
Jimmy Graham.
Packers. Seahawks. Saints. Next.
Wes Welker.
Dolphins. Patriots. Broncos. Dolphins. I said Dolphins. I think he played for the Dolphins. Next.
Vince Wilfork.
Patriots. Texans.
I don't know if you beat Joel.
Wasn't 16. Didn't feel good off the hand.
Take the belt off
all
your
hat,
waist.
All hat, no cattle today, boys. I'm going to say, can I guess? I'm going to say 9.
16.
Oh, 16!
Oh my God. That was a sneaky little 16 right there.
That was
watch. Sneaky. It was very consistent throughout.
It was very Chiefs defensive. Didn't sound great. Didn't look great. Yeah. Got the job done.
16.
I mean, let's also note that he said Dolphins 2 times. Did we count the?
No, we only counted 1 Dolphin.
I was making sure. I couldn't remember if I said it or not. I know he played for the Dolphins.
Took a long time with Jimmy Graham, which was surprising. But hey, who am I to judge when that music is playing?
I feel like I got all the teams right for Jimmy Graham.
You did
right?
Get all the teams.
Okay,
for
all right,
Jimmy
making
Graham.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, the underdogs.
All right, Pete. We go back 2 more years.
Pete's about to get 11. I can't wait.
2009 Pro Bowl.
Okay.
45 seconds are on the clock. Matt Schaub.
Texans. Next.
Brian Dawkins.
Eagles. Next.
Oh. Dwight Freeney.
Colts.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Broncos. Next.
Darrell Revis.
Jets, Patriots, Raiders, Chiefs next.
Ed Reed.
Ravens next.
Percy Harvin.
Jets, Colts next.
D'Angelo Williams.
Panthers, Steelers, Patriots next.
I'm not going to count.
not enough.
That was painful.
What did he get?
He got 10. He got into double digits, right. But not competitive, unfortunately, today.
Man, now I'm getting the clammy brutal. Palms. Getting the clammy palms.
All right, 45 seconds are on the clock.
What is this? What year
16
is
the number to beat. You were back in 2007.
Okay.
Now, because this was 11 years ago,
yeah.
I made some of the names a slightly easier.
Okay.
45 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
Randy Moss.
Patriots, Vikings next.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Jets, Chargers next.
Antonio Cromartie.
Jets next.
My daughter.
Braylon Edwards.
Browns, Jets next.
Reggie Wayne.
Colts next.
Champ Bailey.
Broncos, Redskins next.
Brett Favre.
Jets, Vikings, Packers next.
James Harrison.
Patriots, Steelers, next.
Back to Randy Moss.
Vikings, Patriots. God, next. I can't.
Raiders.
Raiders.
Ah!
Raiders, 49ers, Titans. Raiders.
I had no idea. I didn't know he played for the Titans. Seriously?
That was the.
Remember the
that
Titans.
Was the
remember
years.
The Titans.
I did not remember
Jack
the
Jack Celtics days right
that
there.
That was a super wash.
15.
Year.
15-er.
15.
Damn it.
But not good enough.
One more Randy. I tied last week's all-time record and still wasn't good enough.
It's like the 2018 NFL. Those passing yards just keep going up.
Yeah, except for Pete.
Except for Pete. Listen, what do we do with our tiebreaker?
I got
both
the double
of them
digits.
Win a prize?
Yeah.
We've tried the impromptu tiebreaker before.
I mean,
it
you
didn't
want to give
go
both
well.
Of them a prize? I don't care.
See, that'll give them both a couple $100 to somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'll figure it out with them on the other side.
All right,
we
cool.
Need a prediction for Sunday.
All right. You guys want to do D40 or you want to go prediction? Joel, let me ask you first. Who do you have winning? This is a real test to see who you have winning.
Come
this
on,
week.
They're only like 3-point dogs. Of course, I got the Chiefs winning. I'm 5-0 at this point. How can I stop now?
Oh, I can't argue that.
The Patriots have lost to the Lions this year. I got the Chiefs in a slim victory, I think.
I got 27-26. Chiefs.
I'd be stunned if neither team scored 30 in this one. I'd be really surprised if that was the case.
Yeah, I think it gets into the 30s. I see the Chiefs winning. Shoot. I would say 38-35, I could see.
What would you guys do with D Ford?
You got to tag him if he keeps playing like this.
I wish you guys could have saw Joel's face when I asked him. Like, I don't know what it is about D Ford that makes everybody like that when it comes to paying him. I'm not saying I'd give him a long-term deal, but you normally don't let pass rushers walk in the NFL for just a compensatory pick.
If they had, if Tano or Speaks had shown more, I'd be willing to maybe think about letting him walk. But you're going to lose Houston too, probably. You got to find a way somehow to keep D Ford, and I don't want to pay him $90 million, so I'll pay him $15, one-year deal.
Don't be that team that lets another Khalil Mack-like player just walk away.
All right, now we're going a little far.
He's got the most pressures in the NFL.
You're buying into the hype.
He does have one more game. He's got the most. He does have one more game, but he's got five more pressures in that game.
He's got the most little tiny nagging injuries that make him not get the quarterback in the NFL.
I'm coming around on D Ford. I was saying let him walk prior to this year. It's starting to get to the point, what Carrington is saying, where you can't.
You gotta at least tag him.
He's in the perfect situation. He's in Houston. They may cut him. You're not sold on Passanio or Breland Speaks. You don't know what you have yet. I mean, D Ford's in a perfect situation. Either get tagged or get a deal somewhere.
Someone on the text line said, Spectre, that you should get a bonus if you get every team right for a player. That should be it. You should get a bonus. If you knock out a player, you should get a reward for doing
that. The caller or us?
Us. If you knock out a player, like me, if you get every player, every team that Jimmy Graham played for, you should get rewarded for that. You know?
He should do the math and see who would have won if he graded it like that for us.
Ooh, we'll see. All right, we'll see. Joel, you're getting better at this.
I mean,
you're kind of like New England's defense last year, you know, really bad early on, and now week five is here, week six is here, you're solid.
I'll be ready come January, don't worry.
Way to go, you can do it, man.
That is Joel Thorman from Arrowhead Pride. The other voice you heard is Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. Thanks so much for coming in, you guys.
Thanks,
you
guys.
Coming up in just a bit, a former Chief thinks they will go undefeated. We'll tell you who it is coming up. It's The Drive. Trying to figure out where to start.
Sometimes. You want to start with Missouri basketball and their Final Four record?
No, I wasn't even going to talk about the KU thing where a former Adidas employee said that he has notes that he met with Bill Self and said, we're here to help. You don't got to talk about that. It's obvious I'm the only one that cares about that.
Read it. I think it's newsworthy, man. Dan Wetzel, read it.
I read it. No one in Kansas City seems to care but me, so that's fine. I can live with that. The text line always gets on me when we make fun of listeners, and I meet it in love. Like, that's how I communicate. Like, I make fun of my friends. That's how we get along. But sometimes the text line, people will send in things that it's, like, very hard to know if they're serious or not. Someone says, since you can sign free agents whenever you'd like, do you guys think it would make sense for the Chiefs to go out and grab Tony Gonzalez if they make the Super Bowl and try to get him a ring? Even at his age, he's an upgrade over Demetrius Harris. I love Tony Gonzalez. I do. I don't think Tony Gonzalez is playing football anymore. He seems very comfortable talking to Colin Cowherd every Monday. Like, he seems very, very content talking. I don't think that Tony Gonzalez is coming back to play in the NFL. I don't think he is.
I know that it's not rude and it's not racist and it's not discriminating against anybody, but it's really dumb. And I'm embarrassed that came from the 913. I mean, that's almost blockable, isn't it? That's borderline blockable.
I don't want to block somebody for asking an honest question. I mean, Tony Gonzalez is the same age as Tom Brady. He's 42 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I understand where it's coming from. I look at Tony Gonzalez as, you know, somebody who hasn't played football since 2013 and is now 42 years old. I don't know if he's in playing football shape yet. You know, I don't know if he's ready for the grind of playing in the NFL. Yeah. You know, I like where your head's at, trying to improve this team.
Sure.
Trying to get Tony Gonzalez a ring. He didn't get one. So I like where your heart is. I like where your head is. I don't know if that's the advantage they're looking for down the stretch. You heard this live earlier today. This is Mike DeVito. He was asked a question by the wonderful folks over at Fesco in the Morning. Do you think the Chiefs are going to lose a game this season? Here's what former defensive lineman Mike DeVito had to say about that.
I think the only way they lose a game is in, you know, week 15, week 16, if they decide to sit their starters for the playoffs.
Wow.
And even then, I think their twos are good enough to win. I mean, they're so explosive. They would have to really have an off day on offense, I think, to lose a game. And if the defense continues to play the way that they did last week, you look at the schedule, I don't know who beats them. I mean, this team this week would be your best opportunity, and I just don't see New England doing it.
I do agree with him that if their defense is going to force 5 turnovers every week, they're going to be a very difficult
team
to beat
tough
with
to
this
beat.
Offense. Yeah. I'll set the over under 12.5. We think the Chiefs win more or less than 12.5 games this year.
Well, let me get to that in a second. I love players because they can take us behind the curtain, and they can tell us all these things that we really don't know because we don't play in the NFL, what it's like in the locker room, how tough it is, grinding through injuries, all this other stuff. But the one thing about players, too, is that they think they can always win every game. Like, you probably talk to somebody in Cleveland, and they think they're running the table and going to the Super Bowl. You know, I don't know what Mike DeVito is talking about here. The Lions beat the Patriots this year. The Bills beat the Vikings in Minnesota. We see it almost week in and week out. Carrington, we almost lost our survivor pick because the Panthers had to kick a 63-yard field goal against the crappy-ass Giants last week. So I love Mike DeVito. I've always liked Mike DeVito. I think he's crazy right now. The question is, over, under, how many wins?
12.5. Would you take the over or the under right now of the Chiefs at 12.5?
I think the smart pick is the under. My heart says the over, but the smart pick is the under. I say they're going to go 12-4.
Spec, over, under on 12.5. For the Chiefs.
It's a really good number.
That's why I get paid the big bucks. You didn't know that?
I'll take 12, so under.
Yeah.
I think they finished 13-3. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at their schedule. I actually think they lose this week. I know that might be bad to say. I think the Patriots are going to beat them this week. I'm looking at their schedule. I think they're going 13-3. I mean, I think that's like a razor thin. The smart play is probably the under in this one.
Yeah.
This feels like a 13-3 team with this offense. It feels like 13-3. Now, all bets are off. I mean, I guess you got to bet on it right now. But, I mean, they might not play the last game of the season, so that would certainly change things. This just feels like a 13-3 team.
You're absolutely the one seed, by the way, for 13-3.
I agree.
Yeah. And a one seed with a first-year starter having a week off to think about it before you go into the play. I don't know, man. It feels like 13-3 to me, but I think 12-4 is more realistic. Because I don't know how you stop everything that they have offensively. I mean, you can try to put a fence around Tyreek Hill, and then somebody else is going to kill you. That's the one thing they've got going for them. But we also haven't seen how this defense is going to play without Justin Houston either. And I'm curious to see what that looks like this week.
Earlier today, Patrick Mahomes met with the media. Listen to what he said about remembering Tom Brady.
I was very young, but I don't really remember those first few Super Bowls that he won. I remember the game, the Super Bowl, like the snow game and them kicking the field goals for the win, but not until I got older and then just seeing his success year in and year out as I've gotten older. I mean, it is truly special just to see all that hard work pay off.
You want to know how young Patrick Mahomes is?
He's 23.
He called it the snow game. No one ever calls it the snow game. No one's like, yeah, remember that game against the Raiders when it snowed? Yeah, it has a name. No one ever calls it the snow game.
When you're four, it's like, Daddy, snow game. It was four.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't around for the Pine Tar game. I know the name of it. You know what I mean? No one ever calls it the snow game. I looked this up because I was like really curious. I know how old he was.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes was born after the OJ verdict. That's how young after. I'm saying like not two when it happened. Patrick Mahomes was born after the OJ trial. That lets you know how young Patrick Mahomes is. He was in kindergarten during 9/11. Yeah. Like, I don't think sometimes we really like put into context now like how young the people that we watch play sports are.
Yeah.
He was 6 years old when 9/11 happened. He was not alive for the OJ trial. Like that's crazy when you think about it.
I mean, Tom Brady is, so Brady's what, 41? He's almost twice as old as him. I mean, think about that. He's almost twice as old as the guy that he's going against on Sunday night. Man.
Text line says, Carrington, don't you say that. 12-4, 14-2. 13-3 has killed this franchise. Don't curse us with that. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you for picking them to go 13-3.
So if you would have dropped an 8-8 on the text line, you would have been barbecued.
I would have got cooked.
Yeah.
Here's what Mahomes had to say going up against Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great opportunity. He is one of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest quarterback to ever play. And so for us, we're going to just go in. And like you said, I'm going against their defense, but as a team, we're going to go in and just try to compete. And, I mean, they're a good team in the AFC every single year. And so just get to compete against one of the best teams in the league is going to be an awesome opportunity.
I mean, nothing warms my heart more to know that Patrick Mahomes is excited to go up against a really good team in the New England Patriots. And that the team, he's not going up against Brady. He's going up against their defense, you know? Yeah.
Speck, do you have Patrick Mahomes laugh queued up? God, I love that. Gets me every time, man.
Here's what Mahomes had to say about going up against the New England defense.
I mean, first off, they're going to have a game plan on trying to stop some of your better guys. But with us, I feel like the mentality that we've had this entire season, just whoever's open, get them the ball and let them make the play is going to help us a ton. But, I mean, they're going to do some stuff to try to confuse me, I guess you would say. But I'm just going to try to just maintain our game plan and keep working.
Has anybody really confused him? Do you feel like any defense has really confused him to this point?
No, I don't feel confused this happened, no. I mean, yeah. I think some of that is that he as a coach, it always prepares him for the situations.
Yeah.
I mean, Jacksonville did okay against them. Yeah. I'm not going to make it seem like they shut him down. But, I mean, he didn't throw a touchdown pass, two interceptions in the game. That's the worst game he played so far this season. Jacksonville did an okay job against Mahomes.
I've just never looked at him and said, man, that guy, he looks really confused and really lost and really frustrated. I've not seen that. 1 second.
I didn't think he looked
games.
Really good first half against the Broncos.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're saying, I mean, confused.
They were throwing a lot of stuff at him.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I thought their offense looked very out of sync in the first half against the Broncos. Now, I would say the first three quarters. The fourth quarter, it was just I'm about to win this football game for us. But, I mean, the Chiefs' offense was not clicking on all cylinders the first half against, I mean, they only scored 10 points in the first half against the Broncos. Coming up in just a bit, Spectre has a completely ridiculous take about the game, which I know will shock the hell out of you. Keep it locked in. Hang around for the next 2 minutes, and you will get your opportunity to call Steven Spector an idiot because you know the rules. Any negative text about Steven Spector, we read on the air.
He ain't lying.
And I'm telling you, this take that he has is up there with the greats from Steven Spector. We do that next. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.